بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 2nd of October in the year 2020 alhamdulillah I spent the session last night taking a glimpse into the glorious haram i.e. Makkah and the blessed surroundings, I Mina. And in a nutshell, 70 prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, were born in Mina. 70 prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, offered their salat in Mina. And 70 prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, are buried in Mina. So when you perform the Hajj, it comes as no surprise to learn that you spend most of your time there, as if Allah the Almighty and Glorious wanted you to be with the Prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. If one wants to perform an additional umrah, one should strive to put on one's ihram at Ji'rana, located 26 kilometers from Makkah on the road to Taif. So there's a report. In Akhbar Makkah 5-62, Baladul Amin, page 221, Yusuf ibn Mahaq, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, 300 prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, donned the ihram for umrah at Ji'rana. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam also drove his stake into the ground, causing very sweet and cold spring of water to gush out, i.e. in Ji'rana. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So one of the Salaf, he said, that Ji'rana, 300 prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, put the ihram on for umrah at Ji'rana, not the Hajj. So it's a place for you to put the ihram on for umrah. And Ji'rana is very close to Taif, 26 kilometers from Makkah on the road to Taif. So why were they all putting the ihram on at Ji'rana? And the response is, they're doing something with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 300 prophets. Secondly, in Ji'rana, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drove his stake into the ground. And it caused a very sweet and cold spring of water to gush out. Indeed, there is a blessed well situated there, from which one should strive to drink some of its priceless water. So there's a well, and it's in Ji'rana, but where you put the ihram on, it's a little bit of a trek from there. And the people who live there, they said this is the place where the water came out from the ground. So there's actually a water which is like Zamzam there. There is our beloved messenger put his stake into the ground and water came out, very sweet. So notice, when you're doing the Hajj or the Umrah, you're actually just following the footsteps of the holy prophets and messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam. It then comes as no surprise to learn that Abdul Wahhab Muttaqi rahmatullah alayhi had said, assume ihram for Umrah at Ji'rana, as it is such a holy place, where I was blessed with the vision of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 100 times in my dream in one night. Subhanallah. So one of the shaykhs, one of the saintly souls, he said, put your ihram on at Ji'rana for Umrah, because in one night I saw Rasulullah 100 times. One night. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is recorded by Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dahlawi rahmatullah alayhi in his Akhbarul Akhyar. So now, did our beloved messenger put the ihram on there? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the answer is yes. So in a nutshell, what happened? Makkah had fallen. Taif, that was the last stronghold of the unbelievers. There was the Battle of Hunain, in which they were defeated, the unbelievers. Then they went back to Taif, and they stocked up. So our beloved messenger went and besieged Taif. But it wasn't the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Taif should fall. So what happened? He went back to Jirana. Why did he go back to Jirana? Because in the Battle of Hunain, he had captured a lot of the spoils from Taif. So a lot of their possessions, their wives, their children, their livestock was now in the possession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was thinking that they would come out themselves and embrace Islam. Then he'd give back everything. He wasn't interested in the women, the children, the livestock. So he stopped at Jirana, hoping that they would come. So that's the wisdom why he stopped there. He stayed, they didn't come. During his stay, at night, he went to do Umrah. Rasulullah put the ihram on, and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he went back to Makkah, performed Umrah, and he came back before Fajr. Even Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, who was the staunchest follower of Rasulullah's footsteps sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was unaware of this Umrah. Because all he saw was, he fell asleep, and he's praying Fajr with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he denied it. He goes, what do you mean he went to do Umrah? He didn't put ihram on there. I didn't see it. But, because he was resting. So it was a secret Umrah. So Rasulullah himself did put the ihram on there. So 300 prophets, one of them was our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the superior miqat. Are you to assume the ihram for Umrah? The first Umrah, you put on in the normal miqat, when you're flying over, just before you go past the miqat. This is when you want to do a second one. So you head towards Taif. And a lot of people are not aware of this sacred place, Jirana. So note, Umrah is also being honored by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there's the city of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qadi Sharif Ahmad relates in Tariq Haramain Sharif, volume 2, page 24. Alama Samhudi rahmatullah alayh in Wafa ul Wafa has mentioned 94 names for Al-Madinah. Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dehlawi rahmatullah alayh, he mentioned 60 names in Jazbul Qulub. According to Hafiz Al-Munawi rahmatullah alayh, it has around 100 names. Hafiz ibn Hajar Makki rahmatullah alayh states that according to some of the latter scholars, it has 1,000 names. Thus, the fact that the city has so many names points to its greatness and grandeur. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So many of the respected scholars have written books about the virtues of the holy lands. Many of them. And in one of those respected books, Tariq Haramain Sharif, by Qadi Sharif Ahmad, he mentioned scholars talking about Al-Madinah. Some scholars said, Al-Madinah has got 94 names. Others say 100, some say 1,000. Then he deduced, therefore this shows the greatness of Al-Madinah. If I was to say to you, which city has got 10 names? Even that's strange. Why would a city have 10 names? Think about that. You know, you ask any Muslim, non-Muslim, apart from the holy cities, any cities with 10 names. First question, first response, why would a city have 10 names? If somebody goes, I know a city with 1,000 names, what's he going to say to you straight away? What city is that? And why would you have 1,000 names? Al-Madinah. So the fact that he has got 1,000 names, what does that tell you about that holy city? The name Al-Madinah, why is that the most popular? Because it's mentioned in four places in the Quran. Surah 9 verse 101, Surah 9 verse 120, Surah 33 verse 60, and Surah Al-Munafiqun, Surah 63 verse 8. So think about that. Al-Madinah, that name Allah the Almighty and Glorious uses four times. Now what's strange about that? Most of the Holy Prophet's life was in Makkah. So you'd expect Makkah to have all the honor. Last 10 years was Al-Madinah. The fact that in four places, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says Al-Madinah, 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 Al-Madinah. That's why it's called Al-Madinah. Because you don't give preference over anything which Allah Ta'ala has preferred. Now what's strange about that name? If you translate that, it translates as the city. So imagine somebody says to you, where are you going? I'm going to the city. What's his question going to ask? Next question. Which city? And he goes, the city. You know, it's actually strange. Well, what's the name of the city? The city. Right? That's what Al-Madina means. The word Madina means city. Al is the significance. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala is saying it is the special city where my beloved has traversed to. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. With regards to Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever makes wudu and leaves with the intention of performing his salat in my masjid will receive the reward of one hajj. SubhanAllah. This is in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman, number 4191 or 3-499. Hafiz ibn Jawzi in his Wafa ul-Wafa. So let's look at this. So this is a direct text of who? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You do wudu at home, but obviously you're going to do it. Where else are you going to do wudu? You go to the masjid, you offer your farad prayer. Allah Ta'ala loves that masjid so much, you got a reward of hajj. So every day, Allah Ta'ala is handing out 5 hajjs. Whoever comes to Masjid al-Nabi. 5 hajjs. So imagine somebody goes, how many prayers did you pray in Masjid al-Nabi? And he goes, well, the brother, I was there for about 4 days, so I got 20 prayers in. Because Mubarak, you got 20 hajjs. Which person would say, 20 hajjs, brother? I didn't go to Makkah, Masjid al-Nabi. Every time you offer the Fard prayer there, you get the reward of hajj. So now people query this, because why is there such a great reward? Because it's greater than Quba, your fruit cake. What did our beloved messenger say about Quba? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A salat in Masjid al-Quba is like an umrah. A salat in Masjid al-Quba is like an umrah. This is in Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Bayhaqi, Targhib, number 917. So everybody quotes that. Nobody argues over that. In fact, even the guides, come on, let's go to Quba, come on. Haji, haji, they jump in and you jump here, let's go. Which one goes, hey, jump back, let's go do hajj. He goes, brother, that's 320 miles. Right? He goes, no, I'm talking about Masjid al-Nabi. So obviously, if Masjid al-Nabi is the greater masjid, you would expect a greater reward. And what does your heart say? If I get umrah for Masjid al-Quba, then logically, it should be a hajj for Masjid al-Nabi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, our beloved messenger said, now this is a secret of Masjid al-Nabi, very interesting secret he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One prayer in this masjid of mine is greater than 4 prayers, i.e. in Masjid al-Aqsa. And how good a place of worship it is. This is in Hakim in his Mustadrak 4-509, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih. Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in As-Sahiha, number 2902. This is a secret. So in this absolutely flawless report, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't mention exactly what the reward is, but he mentioned something. It has to be greater than one prayer in my masjid is greater or better than 4 prayers in Masjid al-Aqsa. But then he added, "And how good a place of worship it is, I Masjid al-Aqsa." Meaning, I'm not saying it to belittle Masjid al-Aqsa. So what's the secret here? So the scholars say, if you dive into this hadith, you can't get to the bottom. So what do they mean? So let's put our swimming trunks on, right? Masjid al-Aqsa. What's the reward for one prayer in Masjid al-Aqsa?
Multiplies by 500.
Okay, multiplies hundreds of times. Anything else? All your sins are forgiven. Is that for the farad prayer or that for the nafl?
No, any prayer.
Any prayer. So if you offer 2 rakahs prayer in Masjid al-Aqsa, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inshaAllah, sin this the day your mother gave birth to you, meaning complete wipeout. So from these 2 narratives, what do you learn? You learn, you get a multiple reward, and you learn that all your sins are forgiven. Question, what can be greater than that? If somebody says to you, if I'm as sinless as the day my mother gave birth to me, what does it mean that one prayer in Masjid al-Nabi is 4 times greater than that? A child is born absolutely sinless. You don't start saying, oh no, he's got a few sins that, you know, under the radar you can see it. He's absolutely spotless. So what does that tell you about Masjid al-Nabi? If somebody goes to you one prayer, brother, are you absolutely wiped out, clean? You say, no. Because that's Masjid al-Aqsa. So he goes, oh, so you, it's less reward then. Less reward. Oh, you fruitcake. It's more. Then he goes, how can it be more? I'm sinless the day that my mother gave birth to me. That's right. It's four times greater than that. So that's the first thing. How do you explain that? Secondly, Masjid al-Aqsa was the Qibla for all the prophets. Isn't that true? Including our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Face Masjid al-Aqsa. Your prayer was not valid. If you were offering a farad prayer and you face the Kaaba Sharif, not accepted. You have to face Masjid al-Aqsa. It is only 40 years. There's a 40 year difference between the Kaaba and Masjid al-Aqsa, according to Bukhari. So in age, it's much older than Masjid al-Nabi. Much. Masjid al-Nabi has never been the Qibla, ever. There's another secret. Why is it greater than Masjid al-Aqsa when it's never been the Qibla? So what common denominator causes Masjid al-Nabi to be so great? And the simple answer is, it's our beloved Messenger. Nothing. Allah Ta'ala is teaching you something here. If you look between the lines, nothing is comparable to my beloved Messenger. Masjid al-Aqsa, why is it so blessed? The greatest blessing of Masjid al-Aqsa wasn't the one who built it. The greatest blessing of Masjid al-Aqsa wasn't because it was the Qibla. The greatest blessing of Masjid al-Aqsa was Rasulullah prayed there. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, people are completely crackers. You tell them, brother, why is Masjid al-Aqsa special? Qibla. Is that the real reason, brother? It's special. He goes, no, it's the oldest masjid after the Kaaba. Is that the real reason Masjid al-Aqsa special? Which person would say, you're all wrong. Rasulullah went there. And look how Allah Ta'ala took him there. It wasn't even a normal way that he went to pray there. And who prayed behind him? All the prophets. Now look how interesting. When he was in Masjid al-Aqsa, what was the Qibla? Masjid al-Aqsa. The Kaaba wasn't the Qibla. The discrepancy is whether Rasulullah prayed there when he arrived or when he prayed there when he came back from the Mihraj. It doesn't matter. He was still facing Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Nabi, for 18 months, they faced Masjid al-Aqsa. That's another blessing for Masjid al-Aqsa. People in the second greatest masjid were facing Masjid al-Aqsa. But then after 18 months, Allah Ta'ala says, turn your face to a Qibla that will please you, i.e. the Holy Qaaba. So in this report, what did the Prophet say? One prayer in my masjid is better than four prayers. Better. Does that mean five times better? 10 times better? It's greater. So it's definitely more than four, but we don't know how much. But after having said all that, our beloved Messenger said, but how good a place of worship Masjid al-Aqsa is. Meaning I'm not belittling Masjid al-Aqsa. So no, Masjid al-Nabi is something really beyond our comprehension. Allah Ta'ala is bombarding that holy Masjid. Now think about this. Who is buried now in the Masjid? Our beloved Messenger. So initially his grave was outside the Masjid. But it's now become part of the masjid. How blessed is that grave? In Ibn Abi Dunya, in his Al-Manamat, number 323 or 3-153, our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the report says, Abu Hazim once saw Rasulullah in his dream, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Abu Hazim, rahmatullah alayhi, you pass by me without stopping to say salam to me. Since then, whenever Abu Hazim passed by the blessed grave, he would present salam while standing with respect. So let's look at this. So Abu Hazim is a tabi'in. Just missed the Prophet. Imagine, not like us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what failing did he have? He didn't realize. He pray in Masjid al-Nabi, he'd give salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when he would walk past, sometimes he wouldn't give salam. Sometimes. So what happened? Rasulullah came in his dream, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, "Oh Abu Hazim, you pass by me without stopping in your tracks to say salam." Then after that, every time he saw the blessed grave, he'd stop. He's "Assalamu alaikum, ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So think about that. Think what's interesting. You have to stop. Right? So if you're driving past, not good enough. Right? You stop. And then stand and give your salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Why did our beloved messenger want us to do that? Isn't that a bit of a hardship? He was always looking for ease for us. There's a reason. In Ibn Abi Shayba, it is Al-Musannaf 7-131 Sahih. Nafi ibn Jubair rahmatullah alayhi, he said, if you come by the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then say, "Assalamu alaykum ya Nabiullah wa rahmatullah. Peace be upon you. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullah." Sorry. Just like you say in the tashahud. "Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullah. Peace be upon you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Then shaitan says, "We now have no company with this person." Shaitan says, "We have now no company." Let's look at this. So where is this recorded? Chronicles of Riddick, right? In Ibn Abi Shayba, in his Al-Musannaf 7-131 Sahih Hadith, who's the narrator? St. John, right? Nafi ibn Jubair, senior tabi'in. He said, so he must have heard that from the Sahaba, if you come by Rasulullah's grave, you say this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullah." And then guess what happens? Shaitan says, he's escaped. We've got no company with him. So what does that mean? It means that shaitan is very weak around the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you pay your respect to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he can't really get to you. Think about that. So think of a person that you're thinking he's very weak in his deen. Brother, I don't know, he's on his last threads. Take him to Medina, brother. What's going to happen there? Right? Just get to the blessed, you know, grave. And just have to say this, "Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullah." And see what happens. And they look at you like this, because, what's that going to do? Just see what happens. He goes, and when they come out, he goes, he's changed. Right? He goes, who's changed? Right? So, why? Because it's the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's alive in his grave. When you give salam, the tabi'een shaitan goes, forget it. We've got no company with him. But you have to flip the coin. If you go into the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you do something stupid, you can't even blame shaitan. Right? And that's how dangerous it is. And where is the clearest proof that Allah Ta'ala does not tolerate any disrespect at his grave? The Quran, mashallah. So in Surah Al-Hujurat, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? "O you who believe, do not raise your voice above the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lest your deeds come to nothing and you realize not." So think about that. If you were in his presence and you just slightly raise your voice, you're going to crack a joke with the brother. Class. Allah Ta'ala says, say bye-bye to your iman. So a person goes, who was that verse revealed about? Abu Bakr and Umar. So you're thinking, Abu Bakr and Umar, what did they do? Which at least is it, Sahih Bukhari. They were in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Umar suggested a man. He should be the Amir. Abu Bakr then said, "You only said that to be different from me." And their voices got raised in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then this verse was revealed. "O you who believe, do not raise your voice in the presence of the messenger, lest your deeds come to nothing without you even realizing it." How many deeds did Abu Bakr do? No point, you're there, you know, I've got a real lot of deeds. Me, have you? You've got a real lot of deeds. What's that going to do? Compared to Abu Bakr? right? Umar, both of them, class, gone, because they raised the voice of the Prophet. So why? Because you're in his presence. So when you're in his presence, you have to be very, very careful. You show the utmost respect, Allah Ta'ala will give you how much you put in, as they say. And yeah, people, clueless. Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh, something puzzled him about this verse. He had to ask his teacher, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. And what he asked him was, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, Shaykh, I don't get something in this verse. In this verse, Allah Ta'ala says, you will lose your deeds without realizing. Because as far as I know, that's kufr. If you go into kufr, raising your voice above the Prophet, is that kufr? So Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh said, no, it's not kufr. But Allah Ta'ala is so angry, you will die as a kafir. Meaning, you've taken slow poison. So the meaning here is, yes, it's a place of untold blessings. But if you go there without any adab, oh my God. And even logically, you know, think about it. One scholar said this, why do you find that strange? What's the famous hadith about the awliya in Sahih Bukhari? Whoever finds fault with my awliya, I am at war with them, Allah Ta'ala says. So Allah Ta'ala will go to war with you if you find fault with the awliya, famous hadith. Are the awliya like the dust of the Prophet? Think about it. He's going to war for the awliya. What's he going to do if you're doing it for his messenger? Then Allah Ta'ala says, so yes, you go, you have to prepare. But if you respectfully look at that tabi'in, imagine tabi'in almost fell. He was going past without giving salam. You know, but we find anything wrong with that. He might have been busy or anything. He kept stopping. Because assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullah. Then he continued on. And this is the sunnah, which we've been told to do. And yeah, you just look at the people. He's walking past, cracking jokes. Even at the holy grave, phones are... One of them were talking to his mate, back home. Amir, now look. Have a look. Amir. Right? Imagine what state that person's in. That guy on the other side should have, for God's sake, don't drag me into the bloody curse. Right? What are you throwing at me for, astaghfirullah? He's going, oh, yeah, yeah. Can you get a closer picture? Yeah, astaghfirullah. Then there are some of the endless treasures within the blessed Garden of Paradise. So the Garden of Paradise, what is this? Where the Holy Prophet ﷺ's grave is, and where the pulpit is. So if you've been, you'll realize this. The gap between that is the Garden of Paradise. There's treasures in the Garden of Paradise. With regards to the blessed mihrab in the Garden of Paradise, this was the very place where our beloved Messenger ﷺ used to lead the Salat during his unparalleled lifetime. The mihrab was built many years later by the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh. Now look at this is amazing. Shaykh Muhammad Ilyas, rahmatullah alayh, he said, due to the mihrab, the forehead of the one who makes prostration here will be at the place where the Holy Prophet stood in Salat. Recorded in Tariq al-Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif, page 194. So the mihrab, people are fighting there. You shouldn't fight, but they say compete. But when you pray there and you prostrate, your head is where the Prophet's feet was. You're prostrating on the spot where the Holy Prophet stood countless times. Not once, twice, hundred, thousands of times. You're prostrating on that spot. In addition, this is the most correct position mihrab in the entire world. For according to the narrations, no other than Jibreel advised the Prophet ﷺ regarding the direction of the Qibla. Think about that. Did they have compasses in the time of the Prophet ﷺ? How did he know that this is the direction of the Kaaba? Dah mihrab, Jibreel told him, this is the direction. So the scholars say this is the perfect mihrab, perfect Qibla. And guess what? Scholars have looked into it with their compasses, they go spot on. As if they needed to confirm, because look, you know, just to put that. So imagine, even though there's about 300 plus miles between Medina and Makkah, that is the perfect direction of the Kaaba, because Jibreel fixed it. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is why Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, he touched it for blessings, the mihrab. This is in Ibn Sa'd and his Tabaqat. So that's in the Garden of Paradise. That's one treasure. Another treasure. Then there is the blessed pillar of Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in this masjid is a spot that if people knew the blessed nature of it, they would flock towards it in such great numbers, casting lots to perform salat there. This is in Tabarani in his Awsat. So let's look at this. So what did our beloved Messenger say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because there's a spot in my masjid, and if the people knew where it was, you would be queuing up, you'd be drawing lots, you wouldn't give a monkeys about it, basically. So they asked Aisha, he goes, oh, our beloved mother, where is that spot? She goes, not telling you. So then what happened? Her nephew was Abdullah ibn Zubair, radiyallahu anhu. So how was he related? His mother was Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr. So Aisha was his Masi, his mother's sister. So they asked Abdullah ibn Zubair, please, if anybody can get that knowledge, you can do it. So Abdullah ibn Zubair, he was basically begging Aisha. He goes, oh mother, please, 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 tell us where it is. She then pointed to it. This is in Tabarani, in his Awsat. The pillar is named after Aisha because it's her authority, and she pointed to the spot. And you can find it. Get your phone out. Put in the pillar of Aisha, and they show you a pillar. And guess where that pillar is? It's in the Garden of Paradise. And guess what? People are fighting to pray there. Why? Because they've got knowledge. The pulpit, because we'll get two rakats in there. Pillar of Aisha, we'll get two rakats. Shaykh Muhammad Zakariya also added in Fazail-e Hajj, page 235, Abu Bakr and Umar, radiyallahu anhum, would often perform their salat at that very spot. The two sheikhs, because they'd often be there offering their prayers there, because they knew where that spot was. Why? Because if Aisha, you obviously, the father's gonna know Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu. And they build a pillar there, imagine, so that everybody knows, look, you don't need to fight. And now you queue. And why do you think it's called the Garden of Paradise? I always thought that. Why is this called the Garden of Paradise? Because it's a Garden of Paradise, your fruitcake, right? Because everything within it is Jannah. You just need to know where the treasures are. Right? You got the pulpit, you got the pillar of Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, and there's other pillars as well. There's the pillar of another companion whose name escaped me, radiyallahu anha. And he was the one who basically
tied up.
He was tied up. Abu Umama, mashallah, yes. Right? So Sayyidina Abu Umama radiyallahu anha. There's a pillar of Abu Umama. So what's his story? His story was this. It was the Battle of the Trench. The Banu Qurayza had betrayed the Muslims. The Prophet sent him, and Abu Umama went, and the Jews said, what's going to happen? And Abu Umama went like this. Face it there. Slaughter. But then he thought, Astaghfirullah, I shouldn't have done anything. Why did I say that? And then he goes, I betrayed Rasulullah. Then he goes rushing back to Masjid al-Nabi, and he ties himself up to a tree trunk. And that's where the pillar is. And he goes, I'm not going to be released until Allah Ta'ala forgives me. So when the Prophet hears what's happening, he goes, why did he say Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? He goes, I would have forgiven him straight away. Right? And then he goes, now Allah Ta'ala is going to have to forgive him. Right? So and then what happened was, he told his wife, he goes, listen, when it's time for Salat, just don't time it. And then when I pray, time you up again. So only for Salat, he'd be tied up. So imagine people would be looking at him, thinking, who is that? Is that Abu Umama? Yeah, okay. And after a few days, Allah Ta'ala revealed verses, he was forgiven. There's a pillar there, it's called the pillar of repentance. The scholars say, if you pray there, Allah Ta'ala forgive you, just like he forgave Abu Umama. That's in the Garden of Paradise. So why am I mentioning all this? Because if you prepare, your heart starts yearning. If you don't prepare, this is all you're bothered about. I've got my ihrams, I've got oil, I've got chafing cream to put between your legs, and I've got sunglasses, I've got my accommodation booked, and I'm very close to the Kaaba and Masjid al-Nabi, and it's got air conditioning, and there's a good place that guys told me where to go to eat. Everything sorted. Right? That's his, no, I'm not joking, that's his preparation. And then you ask him, well, what are you going to do there? Well, you know, just pray and, you know, jump on a guide, and he'll show me a way around in that. What's he going to take from his trip? In fact, he might come back without iman. Imagine. Goes to Rasulullah's grave. Oh, what's all this about? Next minute, he's in synagogue. Banging his head. Right? So note, Makkah, like I mentioned yesterday, Makk means to destroy. It will either destroy your sins or will destroy you. And what do you notice? Al-Madina is just the same. It's the city of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But inshallah, with preparation, you will get the true blessings from these most auspicious places. So all I mentioned today was basically, I talked a little bit about Ji'rana, the blessed spot where 300 prophets put on the ihram for Umrah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then I mentioned that there's a blessed well there that you could do well to drink from. And also I should have mentioned, there's Sahaba buried there as well. There's a graveyard, there's a big graveyard, but to find the Sahaba you need a guide, I believe. And then I mentioned something, a few facts and figures about the holy city of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are there any questions? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى الله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل بالحق وواصل بالصبر صلى الله عليه وسلم